A letter now from Dave Smith, who lives in Llandudred Wells, Powys in Wales. I enclose my log of clandestine stations for September 91. All of the old stages are there, but first are one or two new ones. Radio Harmony was the real surprise, first picked up at 10:25 UTC on the 14th of September with a massive signal and excellent quality of modulation, if not of music. At least they're trying to do something different and sound like a professional operation. More about Radio Harmony, of course, in a minute. Other newcomers included Radio Anorak, Radio Pamela, Weekend Music Radio, European Pirate Radio, and Radio Mutiny International. QSLs confirmed this month included Radio Mi Amigo and Radio Stella International. You may be interested to know that Radio Fax was mentioned on HCJB's musical mailbag on Saturday the 28th. As you know, that station often uses 6 to 05 kHz during the winter months. When this was mentioned live on air, during a phone-in, at least one caller from England phoned in to say that the frequency was already used by yourselves. Rich McVicker, who hosts HCJB's DX programme, already knew this and said they were looking for an alternative. In the past, they've used 6130 kHz, so keep your fingers crossed. Well, there we are. Thanks, Dave Smith. And here's a 48-metre band list from Tom Reed, who lives in Gosforth in Newcastle. 6205, Radio Fax, of course. 6210, Radio Mutiny International, also heard on 6218. 6220, Radio Zenith International. 6229, Jolly Roger Radio. Also Southern Music Radio, Radio London, and Radio Europe via Jolly Roger Radio. 6230, Britain Radio International. 6240, Radio Merlin, who are rumoured to be coming back soon. 6240, Weekend Music Radio. 6255, Radio Confusion. 6262, Northern Ireland Relay Service, carrying Riverside 101 and European Pirate Radio. 6275 West and North Kent Radio. 6276 Radio Delta Elburg. 6280 Ozone Radio. 6285 Radio East Coast Holland. 6290 Radio Orion. 6293 Radio Stella International. 6300 Radio Confusion. And 6305 Radio Harmony. 6524 Radio Pamela on shortwave, and 6538 Station Sierra Sierra and Radio Stella, our friends on 7446 kHz. If you'd like to write to us, we'd love to have your letter. As always, the address is Sparks, Radio Fax, The Forge, Cranley, England, GU67BG. I guarantee to read your letter out on air, and if you'd like a reply in writing, which includes a station card, technical information, and an artist's impression of the transmitter site, please send 50 pence, 3 international reply coupons, or $1. And the address again, Sparks, Radio Fax, The Forge, Cranley, England, GU67BG.
Mushroom in your mind. If you're considering buying one of the Philips DC777 shortwave car radios from Radiofax Sales, here's some very good news for you. After some hard bargaining with our suppliers, we're now able to offer these terrific shortwave car radios at the new lower price of only £239. And remember, not only is the DC777 a good quality digital readout shortwave tuner, it also has long wave, medium wave, FM stereo, a high quality stereo cassette deck, and powerful stereo amplifier, all in a compact, standard size in-car unit. Shortwave coverage is from 3170 to 21910 kHz continuous. This unit receives a good review in the World Radio and TV Handbook and 4 stars in the Radio Netherlands receiver shopping list. The new low price, remember, is only £239, inclusive of VAT and delivery in the UK or overseas airmail to anywhere in the world. There's no long wait for your unit to arrive. We hold them in stock. Contact our sales office for more information and a brochure. Telephone number is in England, 0483 275 997. Fax number is also in England, 0483 276 477. Or write to us at Radio Fax, The Forge, Cranley, GU6 7BG in England.
I'm
The World of Shortwave, a special report by James Careless in Radio World. Worldband Radio, it's an Alice in Wonderland medium, a place where most domestic broadcasting rules do not apply, and those few that do tend to work in reverse. Consider that receiver sales in the United States have jumped dramatically, but the overall world audience is still shrinking. Government and public stations are on top, while commercial rock stations cannot obtain a foothold. And, finally, some world band broadcasters believe the only way they will survive in the future is to get out of the world bands. Technically, the world bands are the shortwave bands that cover 13 sections of the radio spectrum ranging from 3.9 to 26.1 MHz. This is why many people use the terms shortwave and world band interchangeably. In terms of content, the world bands are home to five different broadcasters. First, there are publicly owned stations, such as the BBC and Radio Netherlands. Then there are government-run stations, such as the Voice of America and Radio Moscow. Between them, these two groups own the lion's share of the world band audience. Next, there are religion-operated broadcasters, such as Heralding Christ Jesus' Blessing, HCJB in Ecuador, and the World Service of the Christian Science Monitor. The list further includes domestic-style commercial stations, like WRNO New Orleans, Louisiana. And finally, there are the illegal amateur-run pirate stations, operating under such names as Voice of Anarchy, He-Man Radio, and Zerk with an X. All operate in a broadcast medium entirely reliant on the reflective qualities of the ionosphere. At best, these change from hour to hour, making daily frequency changes a must. At worst, they do not work at all, due to occasional geomagnetic disturbances originating at the sun. According to BBC research, whose accuracy is widely accepted by other world band broadcasters, nearly 200 million people tune into world band radio at least once each week. As it turns out, the BBC has the largest audience of 120 million people, followed by the Voice of America, and then the combined audience of Radio Free Europe and Radio Liberty. And why do people tune in? Traditionally, the first reason that people listen to shortwave radio around the world is for news, said Sherwood Demitz, head of the communication research at the US Information Agency, the parent of VOA. Added Jonathan Marks, editor of Radio Netherlands Media Network, shortwave radio is very much crisis-driven. 1991 has been a year of crisis, and world band receiver sales have been booming, so said Jock Elliott, contributing editor to the Passport to World Band Radio, an annual directory that the New York Times called a TV guide for world band radios. As well, the new generation of digitally tuned radios are as easy to operate as a telephone, and unlike their huge tube-filled predecessors, that's valve in English, these sets are small, powerful, and reasonably priced. Yet, as good as this news would seem to be, world band broadcasters will tell you their market shares are dwindling. Why? It's due to that pesky freedom that's sweeping the world. Kim Andrew Elliott said, the audience research officer at the VOA, wherever you have that, the audience for international broadcasting declines. As well, the growth of other media such as television in areas like India are also starting to cut into the time that was formerly used to listen to shortwave. But what about the sales growth in the United States? The audience is estimated to be just 2% of the population, of which some 194 million 12 years of age or older listen to commercial radio each week. So, although the growth is real, its actual impact is relatively small. There are more strange features to world band radio, at least strange to those accustomed to domestic broadcasting. First, public and government stations, with their emphasis on talk, beat commercial rock outlets hands down. In fact, there is only one such station left in operation. That is WRNO New Orleans. Others that have gone off the air, which means they were sold to religious organizations, eager to spread the word at their own expense include KUSW Salt Lake City, which broadcast the music that drove Manuel Noriega crazy when he was holed up at the Vatican Embassy in Panama. Those American-owned rock stations have not had an easy time for two reasons. First, as noted before, world band listeners want news, not music. Secondly, when it comes to sound quality, even domestic AM sounds better. The final irony of world band is that many of its major players believe the future lies elsewhere, mainly on someone else's domestic station. The reason is simple, according to Jonathan Marks. Audiences that relied on world band in the past, such as those in Eastern Europe, are tuning into increasingly reliable outlets at home. So the stations are going to have to wake up to the fact of, so how are we going to keep them? Do we say goodbye, or do we change our programming, or do we change our method of distribution? Distribution seems to be the most popular answer, whether by taped recordings or increasingly by direct satellite relays, as offered by the BBC. All this begs a question. Will world band survive into the next century? Marx said he believes so, with certain qualifications. Shortwave will certainly survive to Africa and to Asia as an important broadcasting medium for a long time, he said. But I think that if shortwave stations stick to shortwave as their only means of distribution, then they're probably going to fade into the distance. So, not an altogether optimistic outlook from Radio World.
The streets are lined with camera crews. Everywhere he goes is news. Today is different. Today is not the same. Today I make the action. Take snapshot into the light. Snapshot into the light. I'm shooting into the light. 4 miles down, the cavalcade moves on. Driving into the sun. If I worked it out right, you won't see me on the gun. 2 miles to go, they're clearing the road, and the clearing has really begun. I've got my radio, I can hear what's going on. You went glow in a flash and
a lonely boy hiding behind the front door. Friends have all gone home. There's my toy gun on the floor. Come back, mom and dad. You're growing apart. Know that I'm growing up sad. I need some attention. I shoot into the light.
Radio Harmony hits the headlines. This was on Media Network.
Meanwhile, David Ward in Norwich, England, solved a mystery surrounding Radio Harmony. For several weeks, a station playing music of the 60s and 70s has been operating for several hours a day on 6305 kHz. When it first came on the air, it called itself Radio Harmony and gave a box address in Texas. Then nothing but continuous music went out for a while, until this past Tuesday night, when what sounded like a regular program commenced. This time, though, the contact address was given as P.O. Box 1651 in Frinton-on-Sea, Essex. There were also two phone numbers mentioned on the air. These numbers sound familiar. In fact, my phone book shows they're the same as East Anglian Productions. EAP have been involved in offshore broadcasting for decades, at first marketing records of Radio Caroline, later having a heavy financial interest in Laser 558. Signals from Radio Harmony, though, are believed to come from Ireland, but it's not a competitive signal in this part of Europe at least, and in the early mornings it mixes with the Cuban clandestine radio station La Voz del Cid.
Well, that was Jonathan Marks there on Media Network from Radio Netherlands.
Here's a letter from Peter Evans, who writes from Mitchelden in Gloucestershire. I've been meaning to write to you for quite some time to tell you it's nice to have Radio Fax back on the air again. I'm not sure how you managed to get around the Broadcasting Act, which closed so many stations back in the end of 1988, but I'm pleased you've found a loophole in the law of Ireland. Of course, there have been stations which remained since then. Jolly Roger Radio and Ozone Radio, formerly West Side Radio on shortwave, and I believe Radio Dublin is still on. I remember your close down back at the end of 1988, and still have a tape of it in my collection, plus some recordings of Radio Carousel's closure, which went on 6240 kHz if my memory serves me right. I used to enjoy Heady Eddie's programmes on Radio Rainbow, 6240 kHz. Your transmission on 6205 kHz is usually very clear. Sparks is a very interesting programme. I enjoy the rock programmes that go out Fridays and Saturdays, but I also enjoy the recordings of offshore radio from the past, which have gone out on Fridays and Saturdays. I was a fan of RNI, and enjoy hearing recordings from that time. RNI was the first offshore radio that I heard myself, although I was aware that in the 1960s others had broadcast from boats. But I enjoy listening to tapes of offshore stations from all eras. Paul Bentley's lively presentation on Wednesdays and Thursdays and Sundays makes for interesting programmes. I have a tape from Anorax UK which has segments of recordings from the close downs of the Irish stations back in 1988. And on a recording of a station called WABC is a voice that sounds remarkably like Paul's. Has he spent some time in Ireland on this station? Well, the answer is yes. In fact, he was the programme controller there. I used to be able to hear Sunshine Radio on 531 kHz and Radio Nova on 738 kHz with the aid of a medium wave loop, but I never heard WABC, which followed the laser hot hits format according to the tape I've got. I originally built the loop to get help with reception of Caroline, but quickly discovered many other stations to hear also. Going back a few years, when Caroline was on 963 kHz, daytime reception was not very good with a simple portable radio, due to Radio Wyvern on 954 kHz in Herefordshire, which I live 2 miles away from. The loop aerial helped to null out Wyvern. If you have any of the recordings left from when you used to broadcast back in 1988, possibly you could air them again as a Radiofax archive feature. We're thinking about that idea. I particularly remember a feature looking at the land-based stations in the UK, and remember an interview with the staff of Sunshine Radio Ludlow, who used to broadcast on 1017kHz medium wave. The people behind that have not broadcast for a long time as Sunshine, but on 1512kHz AM is a station testing aerial propagation, which is licensed by the old licensing authority, and this has the same address as Sunshine Radio used to use. Sunshine Radio pushed ILR Wyvern quite hard and did well on advertising prior to its closure from 7 days a week station. Wyvern bosses did not like Sunshine because its transmissions covered Herefordshire and Worcestershire from Shropshire. This was prior to Beacon Radio starting to operate from Shropshire as well as from Wolverhampton. Now WABC, I believe. I now use a SciShow SW5000 receiver with an ATU and a 40-foot long aerial. This pulls in many stations from all over the world, and compared with some systems is quite an inexpensive setup. Sometime in the future I would like to get something with a synchronous detection, possibly a Sony 2010. I'm not convinced, however, on whether music would sound okay with this mode of operation. Using the BFO on my current receiver, music still sounds slightly distorted, although speech can be demodulated quite well on single sideband. There's nothing worse than trying to listen to a rock track and hear it distorting by listening on sideband, and I wonder how this would affect stations like yours if you had to change to sideband, which seems better suited to speech than music output. Well, Trevor says, in a note, if it's properly synchronised and stays locked, you won't get the pitch shift that you get with a free-running BFO. However, we have no plans to go onto sideband, and we're rather dubious about whether broadcasters should be changing to sideband anyway, as you may have heard from Trevor's report a few weeks ago. Back to the letter from Paul Evans. I'm 35 years old, and radio has always been important to me. I started serious shortwave listening back in 1984 and have been hooked ever since. I'm a centre lathe operator at a factory in the Doughty Group, which makes components for aircraft. At the moment things are uncertain due to defence cuts, although we have civil work to do as well, for Airbus Industries through British Aerospace. So a feature you reported on earlier in the year about a possible problem with Airbus was of great interest to me. Doughty Aerospace make undercarriages and hydraulic equipment for military and civil aircraft. In fact, George Doughty, the founder of the Doughty Group who died around 5 years ago, had the original idea for the hydraulic undercarriage prior to the Second World War and formed his own company in Cheltenham, Gloucestershire, after working for the Gloucestershire Aircraft Company. Doughty has expanded out into all sorts of enterprises since. Anyway, that's enough for this time. To keep up the good work and enjoyable programmes. Excellent letter from Peter Evans. Thanks very much.
Yeah.
Wavering on the News Wave Bands, from The Observer by Richard Brooks. The BBC's planned all-news radio network will not now start until autumn next year at the earliest. In typical BBC fashion, there are now four committees looking at the proposed network. Initially, it seemed a reasonably simple task. Come up with another £6 million a year, put the new network onto longwave, while the traditional Radio 4 goes out only on FM. Programmes such as Today and PM would be broadcast simultaneously on both wave bands. One snag is the wave band, as the young 25 to 45-year-old target audience tends to listen on FM. But Radio 4 purists argue that dramas and such like must go on FM because of its better sound. Another problem is cost. £12 million is a more realistic figure for the changes. Rather late in the day, the BBC is wondering whether it first needs a thorough review of all radio networks. Only then can decisions about a radio news channel be made. Is Radio 5 worth continuing? Its only success has been its sports coverage. Radio 2 has managed both to lose and confuse its audience. Its future is in doubt. Radio 3 needs redefining, since competition is coming soon from the first commercial classical music station, Classic FM. Another key factor is the government, which will not be happy for the BBC to have a news station as a sixth network. Tory voices are already hoarse from complaining about anti-government bias in the BBC's current output. That piece by Richard Brooks in The Observer.
Thank you.